Unrooted is a podcast by the Indigenous Foundation focused on centering Indigenous voices and stories. Through Unrooted, we hope to dismantle systems of oppression and uproot the deeply ingrained issues and racism that exist against Indigenous peoples to this day. We hope to share intersectional, holistic perspectives through our discussions with Indigenous and Afro-Indigenous advocates and changemakers. Ani, Bojo, Kelsey, Indigenikaz, Gawin, Mshiki, Kenmazi, and Dodem, Nishnabe, Minwa, Jaganash, Kwe, and Dao, Sagin, Donjaba. Hello, my name is Kelsey, my pronouns are she, her, and I am Anishnabe and Dutch from Sagin First Nation. I'm a team member of the Indigenous Foundation's projects and podcast team. I'm excited to be here with the co-host of this podcast, Lizea.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Unrooted. Today, me and Kelsey are going to be talking about the clean water drinking crisis within Indigenous communities. But before we get into that, let me introduce myself. My name is Lizea, and I'm a part Plains Cree woman on the podcast team for the Indigenous Foundation. I hope all of you listening enjoy me and Kelsey's first podcast together. Thank you so much for listening, and let's get right into it.
The clean drinking water crisis in Indigenous communities is severely overlooked and is constantly silenced or hidden by the government and media. With that, we encourage you to listen and go beyond the podcast to learn about the action you can take to contribute to ending this crisis. Before Lizea and I begin this discussion, we believe it is important to share with you our own connections with water and the clean drinking water crisis. After all, as Indigenous peoples, many of us inherently have deep connections to the water. It is common that Indigenous peoples grow up with teachings surrounding the water, with ceremonies for water, and with general knowledge that we should always show respect towards water. Personally, my connection to water has been strengthening as I grow up. When I was younger, my parents and family would teach me to respect the water and understand how powerful it is. Though I did not always know exactly what this meant, I listened. And as I go on to reconnect with my culture, it is beginning to make a lot more sense to me. I've recently been taught that as women, Two-Spirit folks, and all others who have the ability to give life, we have an extremely vital connection to the water, whether we know it or not. Not only does life begin in water, but as we have our moon times or our periods, we are connected to the cycles of the earth, including the cycles of the tides and water. On another note, water has always been a comforting presence to me. My favorite places to be are near large natural bodies of water. Their beauty reminds me of the natural world and my responsibility to care for the natural world. It also reminds me that not only does water sustain us, but it also sustains all life forms on Mother Earth. This is extremely powerful to acknowledge, as in many ways, it challenges the Western values of water. Taking it one step further, I've been taught that water is the blood of Mother Earth. With that, when it comes to the clean drinking water crisis, it's a difficult issue to not only talk about, but to learn about. It is a privilege to simply have access to clean water, and there are far too many Indigenous communities and peoples that are denied this necessity and are forced to witness the destruction of Mother Earth's bloodline. Though I've never lived in a community that is without clean drinking water, everywhere that I have lived is connected to the crisis. As Indigenous peoples, we are all connected, and every city that I've lived in has had nearby Indigenous communities underwater advisories. My connection to water and the clean drinking water crisis takes on many forms with various levels. Regardless, it is extremely important to me, which is why I'm here today with Lizea to share with you a brief introduction of the clean drinking water crisis.
Kelsey has made some great points as to why not only she, but all Indigenous peoples have deep connections to the water. For me personally, like Kelsey mentioned, I love being at big natural bodies of water because I just feel whenever I am overwhelmed or going through a rough time in my life, I can find peace and comfort in that water. When I am near water, I also get a random sense of inspiration and creativity. For instance, I had a moment where I liked writing poetry a lot, and I often found myself stuck on not knowing what to write about. But I would visit the body of water near my house, and every time I went down there, I always felt safe and vulnerable, and I felt like I could share my whole life story in my notebook. And it just really reminded me how powerful my connection to water really is, especially as an Indigenous woman. When I visited the body of water near my house, I was also faced with really deep emotions and strong thoughts. While others may be afraid, sorry, I was gonna say scared, but afraid is a better word. While others would feel afraid of those thoughts and deep emotions, I just found it powerful that this body of water has the ability to do this to me. And in those moments, I just really recognize and acknowledge the sacredness of our water. And I am so grateful that I've had the ability to reflect and figure out how sacred our water really is, because it just gives me deeper insight on how, I'm trying to find the word, on how spiritually torn apart Indigenous communities also are when they don't have access to that clean water, because it's rooted in our teachings. The water, as Kelsey mentioned, the water is where all living things are connected.
Despite so-called Canada and the so-called United States being as wealthy as they are, there are Indigenous peoples and communities without clean drinking water and living in third world conditions. Access to clean and usable water is a basic human necessity, and it's vital to Indigenous cultures, beliefs, and ways of life. However, numerous Indigenous communities across Turtle Island are still denied this necessity.
A stat that me and Kelsey both found extremely alarming was the fact that 73% of water systems in First Nation communities are at a high to medium risk of being contaminated or unsafe. We wanted to go more in depth into what this means and what we think of it.
Firstly, high to medium risk means that the communities are usually unable to even consume their water. And the stat is shocking considering how high it is, and it really makes you wonder about what communities near you are directly impacted by this crisis.
When I first heard this stat, my thoughts automatically turned to the marginalization factor that Indigenous people face and how we have always been treated as inferior and we just have always been ignored or just pushed to the side.
We also found some stats that state that the number of waterborne diseases in Indigenous communities is 26 times higher than the national average. And Indigenous people living on reserves are 90 times more likely to have no access to running water compared to non-Indigenous people living in so-called Canada.
Indigenous communities that are impacted by the clean drinking water crisis are typically categorized under one of three drinking water advisories. These advisories are used to inform the public of the safety and the use and consumption of their water. The three types of water advisories are boil, do not consume, and do not use. A boil water advisory means that the community should boil their water before using or consuming in order to kill off some of the harmful bacteria in the water. A do not consume advisory means that the community should not use the water to do things like drink, brush their teeth, or prepare their food, as there are several health risks involved with any sort of consumption of the water at that point. Lastly, a do not use advisory means that any exposure and use of the water is too harmful and can have extreme impacts on the health of the community. These advisories are intended to be merely temporary. Yet, Indigenous communities are commonly subject to long-term water advisories.
Indigenous communities are disproportionately impacted and deal with both long and short-term advisories. At any given time, over 100 Indigenous communities are without clean drinking water in so-called Canada, despite Justin Trudeau promising to end all long-term water advisories in Indigenous communities by March of 2021.
One of the main causes for the clean drinking water crisis in Indigenous communities is the forced displacement onto reserves and displacement from traditional territories. These are both traced back to and linked to 1492, which is where colonization began, and eventually led to the Indian Act of 1876. Through the Indian Act, Indigenous peoples were controlled and forced onto reservations by the government. Ultimately, the goal of which was to either eliminate Indigenous peoples or assimilate us into Western society. Due to this racism and oppression on behalf of colonizers, supplying clean drinking water was nowhere near a priority for the reserves and communities. And this meant and led to inadequate infrastructure that was implemented, and overcrowding became common within the communities. The placemaking that came from the Indian Act continues to influence our current society. Each community without clean drinking water has specific reasons, such as industrialization. However, colonization and the Indian Act are the root cause of water security issues in Indigenous communities. Another cause for the clean drinking water crisis in Indigenous communities is systemic and systematic racism. First Nations and Indigenous communities are regulated on the federal level, while municipalities are regulated on the provincial level. The reason why this is important is because it results in Indigenous communities receiving less funding than surrounding municipalities, even if they are the same size of these different communities. The government ultimately controls and restricts the community's capacity to work on the water systems. This contributes to the fact that although non-Indigenous communities do have water advisories, they tend to be resolved far faster than in Indigenous communities. Further, what is perhaps one of the most unsettling issues within this crisis, in my opinion, is that non-Indigenous communities that are merely kilometers from some Indigenous communities have clean water, while the Indigenous community does not. They can be extremely close to each other, while the non-Indigenous community has that one necessity and that one extremely important aspect to daily life, while the Indigenous community simply does not. The last cause for the clean drinking water crisis in Indigenous communities that we will be discussing today is ignorance on behalf of large corporations and the government when it comes to Indigenous environmental knowledge and the corporations and government's environmental impacts. The ongoing ignorance towards Indigenous traditional and environmental knowledge and science has led to communities being harassed and taken advantage of for economic-driven purposes. Some of the more common examples of this are pipelines, which are being built through traditional territories without consultation. Another example is waste that is being dumped into water sources that are just upstream from Indigenous communities. Each of these examples, though there are many more, I believe demonstrate the pure ignorance on behalf of corporations and the government when it comes to Indigenous life, when it comes to Indigenous communities, Indigenous health, and Indigenous quality of life. They clearly do not seem to understand that these are lives that are being affected. These are entire communities and cultures that are being affected by their actions and are bearing the worst consequences from their actions.
There are several different ways in which this crisis impacts Indigenous peoples, communities, and cultures. For instance, it places limits and impacts traditional food sources. Numerous indigenous communities rely on fish and other marine life as a traditional food source. And in the case of contamination, bioaccumulation occurs, making it dangerous to consume the marine life. The crisis also creates increased expenses that indigenous peoples have to pay, such as trucking in water, purchasing bottled water, and lastly, driving to far water sources.
Another impact of this crisis is the health issues that indigenous peoples face due to their lack of clean drinking water. A more common example of this is Grassy Narrows First Nation and Wabasimong First Nation, who experienced and continue to experience mercury poisoning and contamination in their water. This was due to a pulp and paper mill which dumped their waste that contained mercury into the waterways just upstream from these communities. And unfortunately, this led to severe health issues in the communities, such as birth defects, headaches, tremors, tunnel vision, among many others. So there are lasting and generational health issues being caused by the clean drinking water crisis. Further, there are mental health impacts. Many Indigenous peoples have a strong and deep connection to the land and water, like we had stated previously. And this is especially for Indigenous women, Two-Spirit folks, and those who have the ability to give birth, as we have a very powerful natural connection to the water. Due to this, several aspects of the clean drinking water crisis are detrimental to the mental health of Indigenous peoples, which can cause things like depression. These can come from the witnessing of friends and family or the community suffering from the health impacts of the crisis. It can come from having limited access to sacred waters and land due to different contamination and bacteria within their waters. It can also come from constantly dealing with the marginalization of Indigenous peoples and just watching the government and the rest of so-called Canada ignore us and treat us as inferior and less than.
The clean water drinking crisis within Indigenous communities will continue to impact future generations. Indigenous lives are at risk, so we must ensure that this crisis ends, not only for the sake of our people, but also for the sake of the environment.
The clean drinking water crisis in Indigenous communities is unjust and can be ended. We urge you to learn about the Indigenous communities near you. Are they under a water advisory? Have they ever been under a water advisory? And what things can you do to support the Indigenous communities near you? Remember that this crisis would not exist and persist if it were white communities. This is not merely communities with issues that have unrelated causes. Each case exists because Indigenous peoples are not treated as equals on Turtle Island. We are seen by many as less than and not even deserving of clean water. We invite you to sit with this information and be uncomfortable. Sometimes discomfort is necessary to provoke change.
If there is one thing we want you to leave this podcast with, it is that water is life.
Chimigwech, thank you so much. On behalf of Lizea and I, we'd like to say thank you for sticking it out and listening to us share these details and this knowledge. And even though we barely even scratched the surface of the clean drinking water crisis and the issues within Indigenous communities relating to this crisis, we would like to say thank you for listening.